Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. I want you to underline this somehow in your phone or somehow in your Bible. Really highlight this. If you ever get a revelation of these verses that I am reading to you right now, it'll change your life. The reason why I say that is because it changed my life. Several years ago, God just lifted these words from the Bible and put them in my spirit, and I think about them regularly, and it is a fortifying, energizing force in my life. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is a mid-course correction by the Apostle Paul to the body of Christ. It's written to the Romans. It's written to people that are already saved. And look how he says it. The righteous which of faith speaketh on this wise. And then this is the correction. Don't say this. He said, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to bring him down, or who shall descend to bring him. He said, don't ever say that again. And he is making us aware of the sheer presence and the power of God and the faith that is in us in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, listen to your faith. The world says follow your heart. That is absolutely the worst advice you will ever receive. Jeremiah says our hearts are deceitfully wicked and cannot be trusted. That's what Jeremiah said. And John, the Apostle John, tells us our hearts will condemn us, but God is greater. Have you ever had somebody that will give you advice, and when their advice goes wrong, then they blame you when you were acting on your advice, on their advice? That's exactly what John says. If you follow your heart after it goes wrong, it will condemn you and say, well, it's your fault. But God is greater. You show me someone who is depressed, and I will show you someone that is following their heart. That's where depression comes from. It starts telling you you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not as good as someone else, nothing good is going to happen, the worst is yet ahead. That all comes from your heart. Don't follow your heart. You show me someone that committed suicide, and I will show you someone that followed their heart even unto death. That's the reason why David said, I will hide the word of God in my heart. He understood that his heart had to have a replenishing supply of the spirit of the word of God, or it would condemn him to his death. That I may not sin against God. Listen not to your heart, but listen to your faith. You might say, I don't have any faith. I used to go to churches where they constantly badgered me on not having enough faith. I remember going to church feeling great and leaving feeling bad. That's the wrong kind of church. That's the wrong kind of church. As Mama said, I can do bad all by myself. Well, I can feel bad all by myself. I don't need a preacher to help me feel bad. I don't need a church to help me feel bad. I can feel bad all by myself. All I got to do is turn on the news. All I got to do is talk to a neighbor. You can feel bad really easy. You don't need that at church. And so you want to learn to listen to your faith, but somebody telling you you don't have any faith is not your friend. That's not the first or last lie the devil will tell you, that you don't have any faith. The devil feels faith like Superman feels kryptonite. He just doesn't want you to recognize faith. If the devil ever grudgingly admits to you that you have faith, he'll say, don't spend it. I say, spend it. There's more where that came from. And by and large, if you would use it all up, you won't need faith when you get to heaven. Spend your faith every day. You cannot let the devil be your bookkeeper. It just won't work. You can't let him tell you what you don't have. A person unaware of his wealth will live like a person that is truly destitute, even though he might be very wealthy. And so the devil is a liar, and he wants to tell you all the time you don't have any faith. You have faith. How do I know you have faith? The Bible said that God gives every person a measure of faith. The Bible said that. So the devil's a liar. You do have faith. And the Bible teaches us that every time we hear the Word of God, our faith increases. You think about that. You were born with faith as a gift from God. And think about all the times you've read the Scripture and all the preaching you've heard and all the teaching. Your faith has increased. And the devil is a liar. He wants to make you think you don't have any faith. Even when Jesus occasionally announced to his disciples, O ye of little faith. I preached a sermon on this, and my friend Mike Tumanello preached it all over the country after I gave it to him. O ye of little faith. Every time Jesus said that, what happened? He followed it with a great miracle, even though he said, you don't have a lot of faith, you just got a little faith. And then he would work a great miracle. He declared the potency of faith, Jesus did, when he informed us that faith as small as a mustard seed could change our world. You have faith. I had a friend years ago, and I heard him use it in a sermon. He's a great preacher. He called me several months ago, and he said, I just want to encourage you, man. He said, I just want to tell you, when I pastored in Beaumont, Texas, I had dozens and dozens of evangelists through there, and he said, you and Becky were the best I ever had. I just wanted to tell you that. Well, that brightened up my day. It doesn't hurt to encourage people. And so I always held this man in great esteem, a great preacher, but I remember a story told I've never forgotten, and I heard it 40-some years ago, I suppose, or maybe even longer than that. But he said when he was a little boy, he said, I was an only child. And said, my dad pastored a small church. And said, I came to believe that we were kind of a destitute family. And so he said, I want to do my part. He said, I just never, ever asked for anything. I didn't ask for clothes. I didn't ask for food. I just took whatever they gave me and was glad to get it. And he said, we'd go down to there's a little gas station on the corner. And he said, we'd go down to that gas station and had a little store in there. And he said, my dad would go in there with me and say, Buck said, you want a pop? They called it pop back in those days, a Coke. He said, you want a Coke? He said, no, I wouldn't care for one, Daddy. He said, what about a candy bar? No. What about an ice cream? No. He said, I was saving my daddy's money because I knew we were broke. And he said, one day my daddy left his checkbook, not his savings account, his checkbook laying on the table. And just being a little boy, maybe 8 or 10 years old, he said, I could read numbers. He said, I thumbed over that checkbook. And he said, lo and behold, my daddy had over $100,000 in his checkbook. He said, I laid it down. I didn't tell my daddy I'd looked at the checkbook. I just went and said, Daddy, when are we going to the store? He said, from that day forward, he said, I never turned anything down my daddy offered me. He said, you want a candy bar? I said, I sure do, Daddy. He said, you want an ice cream cone? I sure do. He said, you want a Coke? I sure do, Daddy. Anything he offered, I took it. Friend, we need to realize that our God is not scrimpy. God's not run out of grace. God's not short on mercy. His riches are not diminished. And God is asking, do you want? And you need to say yes, because it does not offend God when you're greedy for his blessing. It thrills God because he is a good God, and he loves you with an overwhelming love. And you've got to have faith that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you can't please God unless you've got faith. But praise God, you've got faith. You have got faith. And so you need to wake up your faith. You need to wake up your faith. You said, does faith go to sleep? Oh, it does. If you don't talk to your faith and you don't listen to your faith and you don't communicate with your faith and you don't use your faith, it'll go to sleep as sure as Jesus went to sleep in the boat. But you need to wake up your faith. You say, how can I wake up my faith? Oh, wake up your faith by declaring the name that is of every name. When you say Jesus, the ears of faith are suddenly alert because he knows, faith knows that you know the power that is above every name. And that power is able to unleash and release the glory of the sovereign God of the universe. Wake up your faith by declaring the name. Wake up your faith by quoting the word of God. If faith cometh by the word of God, when you hear it, it's certainly released when you speak the word of God. Jesus would say, it is written, and then the word of God would come out. That's an expression of your faith. That wakes up your faith. And the Bible said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Wake up your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, prayer is a real thing. Some people think it's just complaining to God, but it's not that. Prayer is laying a hold and seizing the opportunity of the willingness of God because God is willing. He's willing that he would not withhold any good thing from you. Wake up your faith. Wake up your faith, the writer said, by rehearsing every good thing in you by Christ Jesus. Every good thing that's ever been in you and ever happened to you, Jesus is the author of that. And you need to remember what God has done. Can you remember when God did? When there wasn't any way and suddenly there was a way? When you didn't have it and suddenly you did have it? When somebody was against you and suddenly they were out of the picture? Do you remember those things? Rehearse the things that Christ has done in you and it will awaken your faith. Let me get now to my text. What does faith say? Well, faith tells us, number one, that Jesus is not quarantined in heaven. So many people think that Jesus is quarantined in heaven, that somehow he cannot be involved in your affairs. That's not an atheist, that's an agnostic. They just believe he is somewhere, but he's not here. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He said, say not who's going to ascend and bring him down. He's already here. Jesus Christ is in this building right now. We don't have to shake and bake. We don't have to dance and prance for Jesus to be here. He's already here. We just have to release our faith and say, I know that he is ever present in this building. And whatever my need is, he is quick to meet that need and he desires to do so. And so faith says that Jesus is not quarantined in heaven, that he is my friend that's closer and sticketh closer than my brother. He is my friend that walks with me just like we sang a while ago. He talks with me and he knows your first name. He even knows your nickname. He knows what your mama called you when you were doing bad. He knows that your mama called you all three names when you were misbehaving. And so Jesus knows all three names. And if you got more than that, he knows every one of them. He's not quarantined in heaven. He's sitting right beside you right now. He's near you. He's in you. He's all over you. He's about you. And the only thing that you need to release the real quality and quantity and power of Christ in your life is to acknowledge your faith and say, my faith says that Jesus is here. Number two, Jesus is not imprisoned in hell. He's simply not. He said, don't say who is going to descend to bring him up. I know Jesus went to hell one time. You say, why would Jesus go to hell? For two reasons. Jesus wanted to do everything that we were supposed to have done to us. You were supposed to go to hell. You understand that Jesus Christ canceled your reservation in hell and rewrote your reservation in heaven. He's already been to hell. One of the things that he did, the Bible said, was lead captivity captive. But the second thing he did was to make an announcement, you ain't coming. They won't be here. If you've got a table set in hell, he said, pick up their plate. They won't be here. If you've got a chair, if you've got a fire, if you've got a coal, if you've got anything, you can use it on somebody else because they're simply not coming. Tanya won't be here. Cancel it. She's going somewhere else. And friend, I want to tell you, you don't have to try to get Jesus to come out of a bad place, because he's right there with you right now. Number three, the Word is near you. The Word of God is near you. It's always within arm's reach. It's always within touching distance of what you need. The Word of God, the powerful Word of God. Do you know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall endure forever? Do you know that the Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe? Do you understand that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and that Word of God is nigh you? Praise God. It's near you, and praise God, if the Word of God framed this world, did you know the Word of God can reframe your world? You said, I just don't like the way my day is going. You need to halt. You need to stop. The Bible didn't just say that Jesus was the Alpha. It said he was the Omega. He was the period at the end of the bad sentence. He called a halt to the night. He called a halt to the problem. If you don't like the way your day is going, you say, wait just a minute. The Word of God is near me, and so I'm going to listen to my faith, because my faith says the Word is so near me, I can reframe my day. At 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, I don't have to say, well, this day is wasted. We'll start together tomorrow. No, I can say right now, I'm going to reform this day. I'm going to make the afternoon so good that the morning is going to be ashamed of itself, because the Word of God is in me. And praise God, the Word of God will frame the world. If it'll frame the world, it will frame my world. What's going on in my life? Hallelujah. The Word is near you. And number four, the Word is in your mouth. The Word of faith which we preach is in your mouth. That means it matters what you say. That's the reason why out of your mouth can't flow blessing and cursing. You've got to learn to be a blesser all the time. Who do you bless? You bless the Lord. You bless yourself. You bless your friends. And then you bless your enemies. There's nothing that will undo an enemy's attack like you blessing them. It flusters them. They just don't know what to do. They're shocked. They lose all bearing and all understanding when you begin to bless those that curse you. The Word is in your mouth. Did you know the Bible said calling those things that be not as though they were? You can look at a cancer and just change it by speaking the Word of God. You can look at a bank account that has no money and fill it up by speaking the Word of God. You can look at a circumstance and turn it around by speaking the Word of God. Listen to what your faith is saying. Friend, we live in a noisy, noisy world. And the devil realizes that you've got faith, and he can't stop that faith if you listen to the voice of faith. So his business is to drown out the voice of faith where you can't hear it. By the news media, by the entertainment, by false prophets, by negative preaching, by negative conversation. There are just some things I have to turn off. I've had enough of that. Just flip it off. Turn off the television. Change the station. Not only your television, sometimes you got to change friends. I just know people I avoid. I just don't want to talk to them. Everything they say is going to be an assault against my faith. And praise God, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to the voice of my faith. My faith says I can. My faith says I will. My faith says I am. My faith says I'm bigger than my problem. My faith says I'm stronger than my weakness. My faith says, praise God, it was good yesterday, but it's going to be better today and even better tomorrow. I'm not going to listen to the negative doomsday howler. I'm not going to listen to the person that is going to try to overpower what God is doing in my life. I refuse to be a worm. I refuse to be a grasshopper. I'm made in the image of God. I'm greater than a friend of God. I'm greater than a son of God. I'm the wife of God. And praise God, everybody knows the wife turns the head. She's the neck that turns the head. I am the one that can influence God. I got a little sermon. I've already put it together. Pastor Brandon just said it and say it. I learned a lot listening to Pastor Brandon preaching. And I was sitting there last time he preached, and he said, God wants to get you in agreement. God wants to agree with you. God works on you all the time trying to bring you in agreement. Because the moment that God can bring you in agreement, with what His Word says, it will be done. The Word of God will come to pass in your life. We're not trying to dissuade God from doing something ugly. We're not trying to persuade God to do something good. We're trying to bring ourselves into agreement with the Word of God so that what God has predestined for us will come to pass in our life. So come into agreement. How do you do that? The word of faith is nigh thee even in your mouth. Call those things that be not as though they were. I am healed. I'm strong. I'm blessed. I got more money than I need. I got a job that I love. Praise God. Call it into being. See what God will do in your life. There are people in this building right now that you regurgitate what the devil says. You regurgitate what your cohorts and your friends say. You regurgitate what the devil says when you ought to be saying, the word of faith is in my mouth. And praise God, whose report am I going to believe? That's more than a song that Becky wrote. That is literally a mantra and a way of life with the Fender household. Whose report are you going to believe? I'm not going to report the I'm not going to believe the report of the people that don't like me. I'm not going to believe the report of the devil. I'm not going to believe the report of the world. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And what I am going to do, I'm going to repeat that report, because the word of faith is nigh thee even in my mouth. It says I am saved. It says I am alive. It says I am healthy. It says I am overcoming. It says I am victorious. It says I am strong. It says I am well on my way. I am able to overcome the biggest obstacle and the greatest enemy. That's what the report says. And the report of the Lord is in my mouth, and I'm going to say it. Number five. The word is in your heart. Praise God. That's what faith says. The word is in my heart. I have overcome the deceitfulness of my heart and the deception of my heart and the condemnation of my heart. The devil says, well, that's not going to happen. Let me explain to you some of the loudest tones and strongest voices of the devil you'll ever hear is when you are in a posture of prayer. Because that's when the devil fears you the most. And he will begin to tell you why you are undeserving and why you are unworthy and why you have done something that now prohibits and prevents you from receiving God's blessing in your life. Remember, the devil is a liar. And the devil predicates every lie on your life, and he predicates none of them on the life of Jesus Christ. Friend, when I pray, I've never prayed in the name of Steve in my life. I don't even pray in the name of Tammy, as sweet as she is. I don't pray in your name, Michael. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, because my prayer is answered not on my merit, not on my worthiness, but even in that day we will be throwing our crowns saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. I'm going to be blessed today, not because I've got a straight A on my report card and I'm simply not letting the devil keep my books. I am going to be blessed today because all of my blessing is predicated upon the worthiness of the Lamb. And so, praise God, I say, heart, you're not going to condemn me because God is greater. God is greater. The blood of Jesus is greater than your sin. The forgiveness of God is greater than your mistake. The mercy of God is greater than your failing, praise God. And so you begin to pray the prayer of faith. It's called the prayer of faith for a reason. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passions, or a man of like failures, or a man of like sin. You take your worst day, and it compares to Elijah's worst day. But he was still able to open up the heaven when he prayed the prayer of faith. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what your track record is. If you will let your faith speak and listen to it, praise God, you will open up the windows of heaven. Peter was a problem. He did a lot of things wrong. He cursed when he should have been blessing. He was failing when he should have been succeeding. But the bottom line was, when the real rubber met the road, Peter let his faith exceed, because Jesus prayed that his faith would not fail, and he listened to it. And when God said, upon this rock I will build my church, he was talking about what Peter would express in his life, and that was that the church of the living God would be an incubator to faith, to where Peter would not ultimately fail, but he would prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, there's not a person in this building that can't have a miracle. You say, well, I've got some problems in my life. We're not talking about the problems in your life. We're talking about the victory at Golgotha. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about your mistakes. We're talking about God's success. There is no sin that can compare to the blood of Jesus. There is no mistake that can compare to the perfection of Christ. And so the Word is in my heart. And so when my heart tries to condemn me, the Word of God is greater. I say, yes, but listen to this. My Jesus has never failed. He makes a way where there is no way. He brings victory out of the jaws of defeat. He produces life out of the throes of death. And so I come to you to the name of Jesus Christ with the very Word that framed the world. And because of that, I know God is going to make a way for me. How God has blessed my life. God has tremendously blessed my life. It simply doesn't matter what the world is saying. I was preaching revival in East Texas, and it was a struggle. That's what I used to do, is go to churches, and then usually churches that were in a struggle. That's the reason why they called me. And I was preaching in that church. I never will forget it. And a man run in the building and said, where's it at? And we stopped the service while I was preaching. Said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm a lineman for the telephone company. And said, a voice came over the telephone wire when I was up a pole and I plugged in to see if it was a live wire. And it said, get down to the church. There's going to be an answer for your life. He knew nothing about God. But suddenly he was on his knees receiving the Lord, being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that released a revival and a spark in that church that gave us a tremendous harvest. What are you talking about? I'm talking about faith cannot be described or explained. God will make a way where there is no way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't need any evidence here today. Do you have any hope? You just say, I just hope I get physically healed. I just hope that my marriage works. My friend, that's the voice of faith. And if you will begin to answer and converse and listen to what faith is saying, your life will turn around. Your miracle will come to pass. Suddenly your night will turn to day. God's in this room right now, and there's somebody about to get a miracle. There's somebody about to have a manifestation of healing in your body. Somebody's about to have a miracle in a relationship in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you to listen. Let your ear hear the voice of faith, because faith, not my faith, your faith is speaking to you. It has to wander through a lot of fodder, a lot of voices, but praise God, if you will be intent, faith will speak to you right now and say it's going to happen to you. Not the person across church, but it's going to happen to you right now. God's power that's in you is going to be stirred up. God's going to make a way. God's going to turn it around. Things are going to change. It seems impossible, but it doesn't matter, because God is a God that specializes in impossibilities, and he's in this room right now. The Holy Ghost is walking up and down these aisles. And just as Jesus went to the pool and said, will thou be made whole? One man that had been there 38 years said, I will be made whole today. And that day his miracle came. Christ is going from person to person in this building today and saying, is there anybody that is listening to the faith that I've given you? If you will say yes to the faith, your life will change right now. Your job will be different tomorrow. Your family will be different when you get home. Your body will be different when you get to the doctor's office. Your finance will be different when you face a need. God is saying that to somebody. He's saying, let your faith go. Just a little faith. Just a grain of mustard seed. Just believe that I was, I am, and I will be. Believe that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That I have not changed. I'm not only the God of the first century, I'm the God of the 21st century. I'm not only the God of the upper room, I'm the God of Living Way. I'm not only the God of the book of Acts, I'm the God of your epistle, and I'm here today in this building. Somebody is on the verge of a real miracle in your life. Subdue your flesh, release your faith, and say, God, I receive not the condemnation of my heart, because I know that you are greater. In spite of my failures, my falls, my sins, my mistakes, I am professing today, God, that you are coming into my life, and there is going to be an undisputed miracle manifest in my spirit, in my body, in my life, in my finance, in my family. Something big is about to happen. Something bigger than's ever happened in my life before. God is going to open up something in my life that I've never known or never seen before. Could you stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house today? In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. God is in this room, and God is here to heal somebody in your body today. I challenge you to get out of your pew and bring your reluctant body to a willing God and say, God, I submit to you. You are my healer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that's got a spirit that has been thwarted and subdued, and you're depressed all the time, and you say, I just don't know whether I can go on living or not. I challenge you to bring that spirit to God today and listen to what your faith is saying, because your faith says there is a dawning of a new day. There is a sunrise in your soul. There is something about to take place in your life. Somebody that is perpetually broke.